fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue to make our way through the first letter of St. Peter, some key sections from the letter. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program over the last week, I'm looking at some of Peter's teaching. It's so important for us as we're moving toward Easter, as we're moving toward the celebration of the Passion, to hear the teaching that is on the heart of the apostles who walked with Jesus through that Passion. And it wasn't the greatest day for St. Peter, especially on Holy Thursday, when he promised that he would never betray Jesus, or he'd never deny Jesus. And what did he do? He ended up denying Jesus. And the reality, the power of sin that was at work in him, the reign of sin and death still had a hold of Peter. And Peter needed the death of Christ. He needed the dying, the rising of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Spirit to give Peter a new power and a new capacity to be able to love Jesus the way he wanted to love him and to follow him faithfully. And so each of the apostles understood the transformation that went on in their lives because of what Jesus did. Christianity is not just a club or an organization that follows a philosophy or just a special leader. Christianity is a whole new way of life, and that new way of life is not just a decision to live differently or an agreement to live differently among a group of people. The new way of life begins with the new life that's in Jesus. Jesus has passed from death to life, and now humanity, the human race, the new creation in Jesus has already begun. It's entered into the reality and the promise of the Father, a whole new way of being. I often think about this because, you know, we're living at a time in the West, in our world, where humanity is pushing God from the human horizon. God somehow seems to be an obstacle, standing in the way of human liberation and freedom, and more people seem to be turning their backs on God or rejecting God and saying, I can't be free, I can't become everything I'm destined to be and I want to be if that religious limitation is on me. And so they want to obliterate all boundaries. To live without boundaries is the only way for me to be happy. So there's no boundaries whatsoever in terms of my decisions, my understanding of the truth, no boundaries in terms of human nature. Sexuality provides no boundaries. There's nothing given or fixed or designed in creation that defines who I am. I simply define myself. It's foolish, but inside that, down in the deep core of that drive, are two things. One is human rebellion, but even below that, I think, is the desire that God put in us to live without boundaries. And the boundaries we live under, ultimately, friends, are the boundaries of sin and death. Death is the ultimate boundary that humanity is always fighting against. In so many ways, it's present in our culture. It drives us. It's a constant fight to be liberated from that ultimate boundary. But Jesus shows us the only way that human desire to live without limit, you might say, can ever be attained. It comes as a gift from him because Jesus has passed from death to life. Jesus is the one who's obliterated those boundaries. He exists now in absolute and total glorious freedom. The Father's antidote to the problem of sin and death. His ultimate vision for how he's going to save the human race that is enslaved in sin and death and has literally no way out. And that's what we have to be able to see. There's a great deception right now in our culture, probably more than any time, at least I've noticed in my life, as we've grown in knowledge, as technology has increased, as the country's gotten more wealthy and people have gotten more wealthy. A great hubris, I think, has risen in the human heart. The temptation that's always there to throw off God and to say, we've solved it. Through our technology, through our intelligence, which is the only hope that we have, we are going to throw off the religion thing and we ourselves are going to immortalize ourselves. We're going to obliterate these boundaries and we're going to live forever. That's what we're going for. We're going to extend our life forever. We're going to solve this problem ourselves. We have the answer. We are the answer. It's a dead end. It's a lie. The heart cry of every human being to just break the hold of the limitations this world puts on us, because really, ultimately, again, of sin and death, sickness, disease, all of that, which is a consequence of sin and the reign of sin, the desire to be free of all that is a God-given desire. But the desire to insist that I'm the source of that liberation, and the only hope we have is our own resources, is the temptation of Satan, the father of lies. The apostles want to preach to us. St. Peter wants to give to us an understanding of what Jesus has accomplished. Because, look, the same guy, St. Peter, who on Holy Thursday protects himself, denies ever knowing Jesus, because he's gripped by fear and the fear of death and suffering and rejection, he denies the one he loves. The slavery of his own heart, the great leader of the apostles. He said at one point in the gospel, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And that sinfulness is revealed there in the hour Jesus most needed him. Peter was a slave to sin, filled with weakness and crippled because of it. And so is every other human being. And the apostles who walked through that reality, they saw the truth about who they are, also saw Jesus Christ risen. And they tell us what we've seen, what we've touched, brothers and sisters, what we declare to you, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. Something absolutely new, beyond our wildest imagining, has happened, and it's real. God's Son has come, and we saw what God's plan of salvation is all about. It's not something we create or just kind of progress, evolution is going to produce. No way. God is breaking into his own creation. And in the person of Jesus, he has united the life of God, his own life, with our flesh. And now he's passed from death to life, and that flesh is reigning in absolute freedom and glory, having obliterated the boundaries of sin and death and the limits of this world. And they saw it. And then Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, and it radically changed them. And that same group of men who were so afraid, and just like each one of us, protecting ourselves all the time, being afraid of trial and conflict and societal rejection and all that's present in the frightened, broken human heart. It's in us, friends. And it was in the apostles too. But when they came to see what God had done in Christ and the future, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, they believed with a new power and a new conviction the truth of the teaching of Jesus, the promises of Christ. They were no longer afraid to die. They knew where they were headed. And what they saw in Jesus, they knew was the fulfillment of deepest longing in each one of their hearts. That's what the apostles preached to us. And here Peter's talking to a small little new Christian community in Asia Minor that's living in a pagan culture that's intensely hostile to what they believe, who they are, and they're being persecuted, they're under trial. And Peter reminds them, don't be afraid of the suffering. It's not without purpose, because you're literally experiencing what Jesus experienced. So don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Don't try to compromise with the world and be a friend of the world so that the friend will leave you alone, so the world will leave you alone so you can live in peace. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and it's a blessing. Peter says, don't let it surprise you. It shouldn't shock you, but rejoice. It's a gift. You're being conformed to Christ, and he's going to use that to purify you and to make you that holy priesthood that he'll talk about here in the section today. So Peter's heart is alive. He's not afraid. He has a renewed mind, and he's communicating directly to you and to me what Jesus wants us to understand. And sometimes today, people really make great effort to undermine the authority of Scripture and to try to confuse even believers, to say that the church doesn't believe, you know, that this stuff the apostles are talking about or the teaching of Jesus and much in the Bible is literally true. Well, there is some literal truth in the Bible, for sure. There's truth throughout the Bible. There's truth for our salvation that's in the Bible. I want to read to you what the Council, the Second Vatican Council, said about the Word of God in its document, Dei Verbum. It says, therefore, since everything asserted by the inspired authors, like St. Peter in this case, or sacred writers, must be held to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, it follows that the books of Scripture must be acknowledged as teaching solidly, faithfully, and without error, that truth which God wanted put into sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. What the Council Fathers are saying, friends, is you can take this to the bank, the Word of God. You can bet your life on it. It teaches solidly and faithfully and without error that truth which God wants us to know for the sake of our salvation. We're talking about saving truth here. As Peter was saying, or read yesterday, he said, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. Obedience to the truth that's revealed about by God for our salvation. Therefore, all Scripture is divinely inspired, it goes on to say, and has its use for teaching the truth and refuting error, for reformation of manners and discipline in right living, so that the man who belongs to God may be efficient and equipped for every good work of every kind. That's a quote from 2 Timothy chapter 3. So this is the Word of God, the truth which comes from God, and it's saving truth. It can radically change your life. And so Peter picks up this theme today. In chapter 2, we're picking up the theme. He begins, so put away all malice and guile and insincerity and envy and all slander. So he's saying, put away your habit patterns of sin because you've been born anew with a new seed, a new creation is in you. God is doing something new in you. Yes, there's still drives and desires in you that want to resist that and want to walk in these ways of envy and slander. He said, put it to death by the power of the Spirit that's in you. Verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, for you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. It's so good. He's speaking about something he knows and that they know. He taught them. He saw them come from death to life. He probably baptized them. And he's forming and teaching them. And as it says in the first chapter of 1 Peter, even though they're experiencing trial and difficulty, they love Jesus Christ. Even though they've never seen him, they love him. And they're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. So Peter knows that in the context of temptation and trial and difficulty, we're tempted to pull back and to protect ourselves. And it's easy to fall back into the old habit patterns of sin because of the old man that's still alive in us, the flesh, that we have to fight against and put to death. And he said, now remember, you're like newborn infants. They had just become Christian. Now long for this pure spiritual milk that's going to help you grow up to salvation. Don't believe the lies anymore that used to guide your life. You're living a new way of life now. In obedience to the truth, you've tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. Take it into your heart. Hold on to it like a great treasure. It will transform you. It will change you. It will bring you to joy, and it will lead you literally to the fulfillment of all desire. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.